سلطانة وبالساحة الكبير يتمخر فيي وعلق غيري على عيني على عيني. بكرة انت وطال المركود بلاقيك والسوح المنازل كلها شبابيك.
This is WNZK, Dearborn Heights, Detroit. Your ethnic superstation at 690 days, 680 nights.
This is broadcast every Friday here at WNZK Radio, 690 AM. Hosted by syndicated columnist Ray Hanania, Ali Yunus, and Layla Al-Husseini. Get information on show guests and topics by visiting RadioBolity.com. We want to hear your views. Call in during the show by dialing 248-557-3300. And now, Radio Bolity.
And good morning and welcome to Radio Bolity. I'm Ray Hanania. And we're waiting for Ali Yunus to join us from Jordan, where we're hoping to get a firsthand report on a lot of the issues that are, really causing some tensions there because of Syrian refugees flooding into Jordan from the conflict in Syria. We're going to try Ali one more time and see if we can get him on the line. Hopefully he'll be joining us. But first, let me just tell you, Radio Bolity is here every Friday, as you know, at 8 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. in Chicago, 3 a.m. in the Middle East. Our number is 248-557-3300. Radio Bolity is brought to you by Ziad Brothers Importing at Ziad.com. Some of the best foods and Mediterranean foods you can get any place in the United States come from Ziad Brothers in a lot of different labels, Sultan, olive oil, and Ziad, and many other brand names that you'll find in your local ethnic store. Also, prominent Michigan accident attorney Jumana K. Ruse. Her website is JumanaKRuse.com. She's the leading personal injury and accident attorney in Detroit and Michigan, the Detroit region, Metro Detroit, and she does a great job. If anything ever happens, you get in an accident, you should call Jumana K. Ruse right away, and she'll make sure that your rights are represented. Also, Icon Computers with Jamal Bazzi at myiconcomputers.com and Imam Mardini at the Islamic Center in Detroit. Those are great sponsors, great organizations. We also want to thank our partners who support us, and we support them, MC Gold TV, Sabil Media at sabilmedia.com. Our favorite publication, I keep saying I got to get Janet McMahon on, and we need to do that, the Washington Report on Middle East Affairs. Their website is wrmea.org. Also, Life for Relief and Development at lifeusa.org. Life for Relief is a great organization, a great charity. You should do what you can to help them. They're the leading Islamic Muslim charitable fundraising group here in the United States. But they don't just support Muslims. They support everybody. And I think it's phenomenal that they do that. So we appreciate that. And also the Dearborn Free Press. Good Morning Michigan is hosted by, Radio Bolity is partners with Good Morning Michigan, which is hosted by award-winning journalist Layla Al-Husseini. And her program, Good Morning Michigan, is broadcast Monday through Thursday from 8 a.m. until 9 a.m. in Metro Detroit Eastern Standard Time on right here on WNZK AM 690 Radio. Again, our number is 248-557-3300. We're having a little problem, unfortunately, getting hold of Ali. We're going to keep trying to bring him on here on Skype. But in Jordan, they do have problems with electricity. They have problems with the telephones. There's just the number of refugees that have been flooding into Jordan from Syria because of the conflict have been terrible. Some numbers put it as high as 40% of the population Almost 2,000 refugees are fleeing the conflict in Syria every day into Jordan. And they're saying there are over 500,000 Syrian refugees just in Jordan today. That's putting a great stress not only on the economy in Jordan and all its resources, but it's causing some political tensions, as we've seen some people speaking out that they want the refugees to go back to Syria. You know, Jordan is already a nation of refugees. Basically, there's a Jordanian Bedouin population that was created in the 1920s and as a country. And then in 1947, when the Israelis attacked Palestine and divided and conquered most of it, they forced out over a million refugees from Palestine to go. A lot of them went into Jordan. And today, half more, if not more, of Jordan's population is Palestinian. We're going to keep trying to get Ali Younis because we want to get that firsthand reporting from him. I'll send him an email. I know we just spoke this morning by email, and he knows to come on. We're trying to reach you. That's what I'll send him on Skype. Must have electrical problems. We'll keep trying, though. We'll keep trying. That's me typing on the email to Ali. And just to see if we can connect with them. My guess is there must be some electrical problem. And that's kind of sad. I'm really sorry to hear that. Hopefully we will be able to get him on, and I'll keep trying. 248-557-3300 is our number. If you want to call in, James is in the studio. He'd be happy to text me, let me know using Skype that you're there. I'm broadcasting from Chicago. Ali is usually in the Washington, D.C. area. And, of course, we network the three locations through Skype to bring you this radio show every Friday morning. And I appreciate all the listeners. Yes, I'm human just like everybody else. I go off the deep end on not my views, but my emotions. I'm Arab, after all. Emotion and Arab are spelled exactly the same. The two words are identical. It doesn't matter if they're different letters, but Arabs are very emotional. And that includes me, and I admit it. I don't mind. It's no big deal. But I want to hear what you have to say. I mean, if you have any thoughts. The other issue that we're going to be talking about this morning includes the Benghazi attacks, the politically motivated witch hunt that's going on to attack Hillary Clinton by the Republican right. They want to blame somebody for the Benghazi attacks. It was a terrorist. It was a terrorist that attacked, the U.S. embassy in Benghazi and killed the ambassador there. And this is the first time I learned that he died of smoke inhalation. I thought that they shot him or they killed him, but he died during the attack, they said, as a result of smoke inhalation. They're trying to say that the U.S. didn't prepare itself for a potential attack. That's hard to say. I mean, you can't stop crime. Someone asked me on my Facebook page today. We're talking about, on my Facebook page, we talk a lot about the Middle East, peace between Palestinians and Israelis. And you're welcome to join if you look up R.G. Hanania. You just look me up, Ray Hanania. You'll find my Facebook page. Or go to my website at Hanania.com, H-A-N-A-N-I-A, Hanania.com. You'll find all the links over there so you don't have to search me because there are a lot of other fake people out there. But if you go to my Facebook page, you'll see that a lot of times we're debating Middle East peace. And, the one thing that the reason people have agreed on is that even if we do have peace, even if Israelis and Palestinians make peace, even if there is peace in Syria, even if there is finally peace in Egypt, and all these other countries where they have the Arab Spring, there is always going to be violence. You can't stop the violence. It's always going to be that way. There's always going to be crime right here in Chicago. I don't know the number of killings. How about that crime in Cleveland? It's very upsetting. You can't stop that stuff. You can work together to minimize it. You can reduce it. you could crack down on it, and you can punish it. But, you know, this idea that somehow peace is going to end all violence, it's not going to happen. That cannot happen. It would be nice if it did, but it won't. 248-557-3300 is our number, so I'd love to hear what you have to say. So no matter what we do, there's going to be conflict. The other terrible news that really, I mean, I really don't want to be critical of the Israelis. You know, I want to see peace. I see one day where we're all friends and we all come together and, you know, we help each other. We work to correct the problems of the past. You know, history has not been good between Palestinians and Israelis. But, you know, I look forward to the day when we can all sit down as reasoned people. But that day hasn't come yet, and it's partly the fault of the Israelis. They really, it's hard to believe the Israeli government doesn't want peace. They just announced again. Here it is, the Arab League announced a peace plan and went one step further and said, okay, you know, we'll swap land for land. You want to keep those illegal, racist, terrorist settlements. The settlers are the real terrorists in the Middle East, and everybody knows it. They teach their children to hate in their school textbooks, in these settlements. They arm them. They teach their kids to fire weapons. They use targets of Arabs that they shoot at. These are the things the Israelis don't like to talk about. You know, they're all happiness and happy, 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 but they never want to talk about their problems. But they teach hatred at these settlements. These settlements churn out hate. They are the terrorists in the Middle East, the true terrorists. And the Israelis, while the Arabs have offered peace and to swap land and to end the conflict, and they've recognized Israel already. Israel hasn't recognized Palestine yet. They haven't done it. Ask them. They won't do it. They keep hemming and hawing because really they want everything, many Israelis. And the Israeli government knows that, and they're playing a game of, you know, a fast game, a very shifty game, and a very dishonest game. And basically it is, the government is just not being fair. And we know that because just this week they announced another settlement, a new one that's going to be built near Ramallah and Bethunia. Ramallah is the Christian city, Bethunia is the Muslim city, they're sister cities. Although today the two cities are Muslim and Christian mixed. Muslims and Christians get along very well in Palestine. And in most of the Arab world, although there are some tensions, and you know that because we talk about that, and I think it's very important that we talk about those things. I'm not going to be quiet about it. I think that the Arab world and the Muslim world needs to address the problems and the failure to respect Christians in the Arab world. And also here in the United States, many Muslim organizations are disrespectful to Christian Arabs, and especially loudmouth Palestinian Christian Arabs like me, who have a strong opinion. It's easy for them to attack me because I'm Christian. If I'm Muslim, a lot of people wouldn't be attacking me. They'd kind of just whatever. But what we're seeing in the occupied territories is instead of supporting peace, Israel is pushing to expand settlements. This new settlement next to Ramallah is an outrage. Israel's response to the Arab peace plan is to build more settlements. And it's hard to, you know, how do you support peace when the Israelis don't want to support it? They sit there and I debate on Facebook. You should join it all the time with many very good Israelis and American Jews. There are many great American Jews who want peace and who support peace. There are many Israelis who want peace and support peace. But I've noticed that many of them are afraid to stand up to their government. They don't do it. They won't stand up and denounce their own government. They do spend a lot of time denouncing the Palestinians, denouncing the Arabs, denouncing everybody except themselves. And I think that's hypocrisy. And I think that should change. And I think what we need to do is call them out. And I think we need to keep the pressure on and not let them get away with this. Because what they're doing, what Israel's government is doing, is undermining and preventing peace and it really is outrageous. But every time we try to criticize Israel's policies, we're attacked. They call us anti-Semites, they call us racists, and then the divisions in our own community, Christian and Muslim divisions that are never addressed and should be addressed, always come out. So you have a lot of Chaldeans that are very upset, and I understand why, with the way they've been treated in the Muslim world. They're angry, and we get a lot of calls from Chaldeans in the Metro Detroit area. They're a very big community. They need to be respected. And that means the larger Muslim community needs to address their issues. But also, what I say to Chaldeans is the same thing. Chaldeans need to be more understanding. You can't blame every Arab or every Muslim for your problems. You can't blame and be viciously, racistly anti-Muslim. That's not the way it is. As Christians, real Christians, recognize the diversity in the world, and we respect Muslims, and we respect Jews, too. We can't sit there and attack Israel and say, oh, they're Jewish, and we don't like them. Or we can't attack, Muslims as Christians and say that, oh, look how brutal they are, and blame all the problems we have on all Muslims. We can't do that. So Chaldeans have to have a moment, and they need to address their issues, and they need to recognize that the goal is to get along and not just to call people names. So that's always my message to the Chaldeans, a great community, and the Assyrian community in Chicagoland, which is very big. All right, you're listening to Radio Ballady. I'm Ray Hanania. Unfortunately, Ali Yunus, we can't get him on the line. I know that we emailed him a little while ago, and I really feel bad. He may still call in, or we may be able to connect with him. We're still trying on Skype. He's in Jordan, and we're hoping to get a firsthand perspective from him on the tensions that are growing there with the rising increase of Syrian refugees, more than 500,000 Syrian refugees, 2,000 a day. Are coming into Jordan, and that's causing a lot of stress. But on the other hand, it is pushing the United States and Russia to see if they can organize a peace conference later this month to resolve the crisis. The only difference, and we'll talk about this after the break that we're going to take right here at Radio Ballady. Our website is radioballady.com. My website, if you want information on my writings and my video blogging, is hanania.com. You can go there, and we look forward to you calling in this morning if you want. 248-557-3300. We're talking about Syria and the rising refugee problem. We're talking about, about the Benghazi testimony this week. Could we really have done anything against violence and terrorism? And we're talking about the Middle East conflict with Israel refusing to be a legitimate partner for peace, continuing to expand settlements. That's wrong. I'm Ray Hanania. It is 18 minutes after the top of the hour, and we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back right after these messages.
Ziad Brand. Quality products from our family to yours. Ziad Brothers Importing offers the finest quality products, including brands like Sultan, Kraft, Nestle, Hook, Rico Picon, Donna, and many more. Ask your retailer to carry these fine products because you deserve the very best. For more information, visit our website at www.ziad.com. That's www.ziad.com. Ziad, quality products from our family to yours.
Jake's Candy, 2-for-$1 candy bags and $1 candy bags available. Wholesale and distribution. Jake's Candy has been satisfying the sweet tooth of thousands of people for over a decade. Now providing delivery service to Columbus, Cincinnati, and Dayton, Ohio, as well as Rochester and Buffalo, New York, and New York City. For New York service, call Sale at 718-213-1264. Or for more information, call Jake's Candy at 248-747-2223. That's 248-747-2223.
It was my job to save people. Until one night, I was in a car accident. I couldn't work, and the insurance company, they fought me every step of the way. I didn't know what to do.
Call 866-YOUR-RIGHTS.
I'm Shumana K. Roos,
I know what it's like to be refused your rights. When you call, my attorneys and I will fight to get you the compensation you deserve.
Jemana handled my medical benefits and lost wages, and she got me a settlement.
If you have been injured, call 866 your rights.
منتجات زياد من عائلتنا إلى عائلتكم. أفضل المنتجات الغذائية على الإطلاق. ماركات سلطان، كرافت، نسلي، باك، ريجل بيكان، دانا. بالإضافة إلى مجموعة أكبر من المنتجات الغذائية التي تحبها تجدها في كافة المحلات. للمزيد من المعلومات قم بزيارة موقعنا زياد.com. منتجات زياد من عائلتنا إلى عائلتكم.
And welcome back to Radio Ballady. I'm Ray Hanania. Our number, 248-557-3300. We're brought to you by Ziad Brothers Importing at Ziad.com. Prominent Michigan accident attorney Jemana Kruse. Their website is JemanaKruse.com. And Jake's Candy at 248-747-2223. Jake's Candy is a great company and a great place to get your candy supplies. Also, the Islamic Center with Imam Mardini. We appreciate all their support. 248-557-3300 is our number. We have been talking about the three big issues, the Syrian refugees. I don't know what we can do about it as long as the conflict continues. The big debate over Syria is they want to hold a peace conference where they bring everybody together except Bashar al-Assad. I don't think they should bring him to the peace conference. He is a vicious dictator. And that's not to say that there aren't problems with the Syrian rebels. There have been some problems, but it's the length of the conflict that's really caused the most trouble. It's been going on now for almost 2 years or more. So many people have been killed, and we're seeing the rise of religious extremists associated with al-Qaeda who are trying to take advantage of the conflict to build a base in Syria, as they've done in many countries throughout the Middle East. But that we can deal with. Those terrorists and those extremists can be handled and rooted out. It's better to let them come out so we know who they are, and eventually we will take them out one at a time and kill all of them, all of the al-Qaeda leaders. We're not going to tolerate them and their viciousness. They are building a base in Syria, they are causing a problem. And that's undermining the credibility and strength of the resistance, because a lot of the violence that has taken place in Syria now hasn't just been by the Syrian government, although, seriously, the government is supposed to be responsible. You don't fire, and this is what the Israelis, you don't act like the Israelis. You don't do the Israeli thing and fire jets and jet missiles at civilian targets the way the Israelis do, and then call them all terrorists. That's what Israel does. And that's always been my big complaint with Bashar al-Assad and his father, the late Hafez al-Assad, brutal dictators who tortured and murdered hundreds of thousands of civilians because of their political views. They always wanted the conflict with Israel. They wanted it to exist, because it gave them an opportunity to distract their people and get them to hate someone else besides their own government. But the truth is that Assad has been a failure. He's not a very good leader. His policies probably have helped prolong the conflict in Palestine. One reason we don't have a Palestinian state today is because of the Syrians and the Syrian government. The work that they did under Hafez al-Assad and Bashar al-Assad, two dictators over, I don't know how many years, some 40 years or more, where they've lied to their own people and they murdered their own people. They can't even fight the Israelis. That's the irony about the Syrian government, is they're big talkers. You know, they say bad things about Israel, but they can't do anything about Israel. But they try to pretend that they're good to their people, but in reality, they're not good to their people. They've murdered and killed their own civilian citizens. So the position of the Russians and the position of the United States is have a peace conference later this month and begin the process of establishing a new political order in Cicero that's based on democracy and freedoms. Now, the only difference is how they're going to do that. That's two steps. The United States wants to start with the ousting of Assad, which I support. But the Russians, because they support Assad, at least a little bit, they want him out, but they don't want that to be the priority. They want the conference to go ahead and have political change begin before they push Assad out of government. Now, personally, you can't have a successful transition in Syria as long as Bashar al-Assad is still the president of Syria. But my guess is that isn't going to last long. He'll sneak out like the coward that he is. Like all dictators, they all do the same thing. They all hide. You know, he probably has his own little hole dug in the ground like Saddam Hussein did, another dictator, tyrant who murdered his own people in Iraq. And then when the time came, you know, you notice how they get religion as they face their own death. I didn't necessarily like the way we went about war in Iraq, the way the United States lied and made excuses about how we were going to get rid of weapons of mass destruction, when everybody knows the only weapons of mass destruction in the Middle East are in Israel, in Dimona, in the Negev Desert, where they've built, I don't know, 200 to 250 armed nuclear weapons. They can destroy the whole Middle East, the Israelis, anytime they want. They can destroy any, and they're a threat to their neighboring countries. That's the only catch of weapons of mass destruction. None in Iraq. There were none. So these claims that Syria, you know, has what they really don't. The Syrian government, they're weak. Seriously, the only thing they can do is beat up on civilians. The Syrian military is one of the worst militaries in the region. It's embarrassing. You know, at least, you know, Saddam Hussein, that's, I guess it's not even fair. His military wasn't any better. They were wusses. You know, they beat up, they were brutal to their civilians, defenseless civilians. That's what Syria is like, brutal. To defenseless civilians. They can kill civilians. But they can't, as soldiers, they don't know how to stand up and defend their own country, which is why Israel has the Golan Heights today and is laughing in the faces of all Syrians. Because we, you know, Arabs have to be insulted by Israel because our dictators don't know how to do anything. 248-557-3300 is our number. It's 27 minutes after the hour. If you want to call in and share your thoughts, unfortunately, I feel bad. Jesse Green, I want to do a shout-out to Facebook. I want to thank him. He says, listen, I'm just listening to your show. You say the Israelis are afraid to speak out against their government. I beg to differ. Look at the Israeli press, Haaretz, for instance. It's nothing but criticism. The Israeli press constantly questions the government. I would venture that Hamas and the PA come down a lot harder on dissent. You may be right, Jesse. You also say the Palestinians recognize Israel. I have yet to see anything convincing evidence of that outside of lip service and pieces of paper. And yes, Israel needs to do its part in the peace process. I couldn't read the word there, Jesse. I apologize. But a shout out to Jesse Green for taking the time being nice, because like I said, there are a lot of Israelis and a lot of American Jews who do support peace. We don't always agree. Haaretz, Jesse, is the smallest newspaper in Israel, and I love it. You know, Bradley Burstyn is my friend, a good friend of mine, and I know how much he goes through by writing what he does. He is very fair, but it's such a small part of the Israeli media. Sheldon Adelson's newspaper is probably the most vicious, racist, anti-Arab publication in Israel, and it is the largest publication in Israel, and it's not objective at all. Even the Jerusalem Post, which I love, and a lot of Arabs are mad at me because I like the Jerusalem Post. I used to write for the Jerusalem Post. It's just that I got so much hate. So much hate came back to me when I would write my columns in the Jerusalem Post. Some from Arabs, but most of it was from Israelis who hated me. You could read, you could still read the columns and read the hate, dripping with hate, from readers of the column. And I know that only angry people write and email, and happy people don't do anything. But Jesse, believe me, it's not lip service. The Palestinians have recognized Israel. We've accepted the fact that we're going to have two states. We've recognized Israel. We've said the word Israel. We've always said the Zionist entity before, because we didn't want to recognize Israel. Then we said, okay, fine, let's call it Israel. If that's what the Israelis want to call it, we'll do that. But yet I've yet to hear official Israeli governments refer to the Palestinian state, or even put Palestine on the maps in Israel. It's not there. You know, the Israelis talk a lot about how the Arab maps don't show Israel. That's not true. A lot of Arab maps show Israel. But what isn't shown is Palestine in Israeli maps. So a shout out to Jesse Green. Thank you. If you want to join the conversation, you go to the Facebook page and comment. And we're always respectful. And Jesse, your comments are appreciated. We don't have to agree, but I do believe you do support peace, and I think that's more important than anything. Our number here at Radio Ballady is 248-557-3300. Let's go to Georgette on the line and welcome her. Georgette, I love that name because that was my mother's name. It's a great Christian Arab name. Thank you for calling, Georgette.
No, Ray, she dropped off.
Oh, no, man. I'm sorry. We were just reading that other thing. But thank you, James. How is everything in the studio? How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. Everything's all right. A little rainy out here, but otherwise everything's going along. How about you?
Is Layla there? I heard her name on our intro. Is she there by any chance?
In today, but you never know. She might make a cameo.
I always razz Layla. I love Layla. And I know she's going through a little bit of a tough time because I don't want to get into personal things. People she knows have been targeted by immigration, and it's really terrible. And we hope that gets resolved. People that are here legitimately in this country, just because they're Arab, they're being targeted. So 248-557-3300 is our number if you want to call in. And Georgette, you call back because, like I said, that was my mother's name. Actually, my father's name was George, and my mother's name was Georgette. And we lived in a Georgian, which is a little brick house, a two-story brick house on the southeast side of Chicago. So it was always kind of nice. And that story is in my book, my humor book that I published called I'm Glad I Look Like a Terrorist, Growing Up Arab in America. And it was a story about what it was like to be Arab in this country and what it's still like. It's not easy and it's very difficult. 248-557-3300 is our number. It is 25 minutes at the top of the hour. And I want your comments. You can post them on Facebook just the way Jesse did. And he's very respectful. I appreciate it. We don't always agree, but you know, I respect the way that we can respect each other and disagree, and we don't have to get into a lot of name-calling, but we can have strong feelings about governments and politics. So give us a buzz or even comment on the Facebook page if you want, and I'd be more than happy to talk about any topics you want. James, why don't we take our next break here at Radio Ballady? I've been trying to reach Ali Yunus. Unfortunately, he must be having an electrical outage in Jordan. You know, it's really tough. He is there, and we were going to Skype him. I was really looking forward to his perspective, and we still have time. We may get him on because these power outages go on and off, sometimes for a few minutes, sometimes for hours, so we're hoping it'll be a short duration. But you are listening to Radio Ballady. I am Ray Hanania. Our number, 248-557-3300. We're here every Friday at 8 a.m. Eastern Time, 7 a.m. Chicago time, 3 p.m. in the afternoon in Palestine and Israel and Jordan and the Middle East. Our website is radioballady.com. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll continue this discussion when we come back right after these messages.
Ziad Brand. Quality products from our family to yours. Ziad Brothers Importing offers the finest quality products, including brands like Sultan, Kraft, Nestle, Hook, Rico Picon, Donna, and many more. Ask your retailer to carry these fine products because you deserve the very best. For more information, visit our website at www.ziod.com. That's www.ziod.com. Ziod, quality products from our family to yours.
The American Muslim Center works for the community. It establishes goodness, virtue, and develops relationships between the Muslim communities as well as regional and national non-Muslim communities. The American Muslim Center on Outer Drive in Dearborn. Call 313-565-9314 or visit AmericanMuslimCenter.org.
If you get into a car accident, how will you pick up the pieces when you can't work, when the bills pile up? Who will help you? Call 866-YOUR-RIGHTS.
I called Jemana. She took care of everything. My medical bills, lost wages, and even a large settlement.
I am Jemana Kirus, and I assure you that my team will not stop until you get the most for your rights.
If you've been in a car accident, call Jemana. 866-YOUR-RIGHTS.
منتجات زياد من عائلتنا إلى عائلتكم. أفضل المنتجات الغذائية على الإطلاق. ماركات سلطان، كرافت، نسلي، بوك، ريغل بيكان، دانا. بالإضافة إلى مجموعة أكبر من المنتجات الغذائية التي تحبها تجدها في بلاد. للمزيد من المعلومات قم بزيارة موقعنا زياد.com. منتجات زياد من عائلتنا إلى عائلتكم.
And welcome back to Radio Ballady. I'm Ray Hanania here at WNZK AM 690 Radio. Our number is 248-557-3300. Again, we're brought to you by Ziad Brothers Importing at Ziad.com. Prominent Michigan accident attorney Jemana K. Ruse at JemanaKRuse.com. Their number, 866-YOUR-RIGHTS. You call it if you get in an accident or you need some legal advice. She is the person to help you. Jemana K. Ruse, I know her. She is a great friend of all communities, including the Arab and Muslim and Christian community and everyone. Now, we're also brought to you by Jake's Candy. 248-747-2223 is their number. Jake's Candy, they have some great products that you want to get a hold of if you're having a party or if you need something for your local retail store. And Imam Mardini at the American Muslim Center. Their website, by the way, is AmericanMuslimCenter.org. I need to bring that out more and help promote that. AmericanMuslimCenter.org. They're located in Dearborn, Michigan on Outer Drive Road. They work for the welfare and support of everyone, Muslims and non-Muslims alike, in the Metro Detroit region. 248-557-3300 is our number. We were talking about some of the different issues that we were discussing. If you want to go to the Facebook page, and I appreciate everybody that comments on Facebook, you just go to Hanania.com, and you'll be able to get the link to the Facebook page. You can friend me. You don't have to be my friend. I don't mind. But you just can't say anything crazy. I won't tolerate hate. I won't tolerate hate against Jews. I won't tolerate hate against Arabs. I'll tolerate free speech as long as it's respectful. We can have a respectful discussion. I'm the only one that gets to go off the deep end because it's my Facebook page, right? I'm getting older and I'm Arab and I'm very emotional. Look at how many years. That's the most depressing part of the Middle East conflict. The only people that seem to be winning are the fanatics on both sides, because fanaticism is a rejection of peace. And conflict, they can keep it going, and they win without any resolution, as long as they have conflict. As long as there's death and destruction, as long as there's hate and discrimination, the fanatics and the extremists will continue to win, and we need to stop that. One of the things about the Benghazi attack, I was listening to the testimony of Gregory Hicks. He was a deputy chief of mission in Tripoli. He said he was stunned by UN Ambassador Susan Rice's comments that the attack was spontaneous. I'm stunned by Susan Rice's comments about the Middle East in general. I just can't believe she's our UN ambassador. You don't have to be pro or against Middle East peace to be stunned by Susan Rice, who was appointed to that position by President Barack Obama. Mr. Hypocrite. Barack Obama. I knew him. He was a good guy. He was when he was a legislator here in the Chicagoland area. I remember running into Michelle Obama with my son when he had just come from Russia. And we were at the Museum of Science and Industry in what was called the Old Street. And that was a place where all the Arab immigrants used to go. They have an old car from like the 1910 or 1905. And you could sit in it, and they take this kind of like a light brown, black and white, brownish picture, you know, of the family sitting on this open type, looked like a buggy car. And it was kind of nice. I always go there because it reminds me of growing up with in a very immigrant Arab community in Chicago at that museum. And I was there, and then they had a little ice cream parlor, and I took my son Aaron, who's a Russian Jew, tough guy, but he's very objective, great guy. I love this kid, Aaron. We love you, Aaron. You're a great kid. Now, we went to the ice cream place, and there was Michelle Obama just kind of sitting there with Malia and Sasha, and my kid was playing with them, and I was talking to Michelle about how things were going with the state senator at the time. He was running for you know, higher office, and he did very well in the years since then. But it was just kind of, she's just such a nice person. And, you know, it's hard. You know, I like Barack Obama. He's a good guy. And I understand that, you know, you're at a different level and it's a different playing game board, I guess, and you play by different rules. You know, it's not what you want. You try to leverage things. You try to get what you want by accommodating others. And it's called compromise. And, you know, compromise is not easy. It's not a simple thing to do. People aren't happy with compromise. But compromise sometimes is the only way to get things done, and I know that's what Barack is doing. I just wish he'd do more with Israel, because he, of all the presidents, Bill Clinton I thought was pretty good, although toward the end he got kind of carried away with that one pro-Israel activist that pretty much took over. I think I got his book someplace. Dennis Ross. Yeah, there it is, right behind me in my study and office here. Dennis Ross was so anti-Arab. The guy was the worst guy. He helped undermine peace. We almost had it. But Barack Obama was a lot like Clinton, but even more so because Obama knew the Palestinian community very well in Chicago. He knew all of us, and he understood us. And African Americans do understand the suffering that Palestinians and Arabs go through, not just in Israel, but in this country, here in the United States, and he would sympathize with us. And, you know, you think, okay, when a guy becomes president, he's going to try to do things. I don't know. I don't see it. I know we do have a Palestinian congressman, by the way, in Congress, Amash. I got it. You know, I haven't talked to him. I've reached out to him. And let's see if I can find his name. Palestinian congressman, I think it's Amash, Justin Amash. He's the sixth youngest U.S. representative and a second-generation Arab-American and Palestinian Christian and Syrian Greek Orthodox, you know, religion. I'm Greek Orthodox, although I was raised in a Lutheran church. Although I spend a lot of time, I got to be honest, I go to synagogue with my wife and family, and my son is Jewish. But I like to think that that's the future of Palestine and Israel, where we all get together and we could do things together. Oh, we got Jesse Green on the line. Let's say hi to Jesse Green, who called up one of my Facebook buds, one of my friends. I can't call everybody a friend in my life. But, Jesse, so nice of you to call, and I appreciate your comments.
Hi, Ray. How are you?
Thank you for calling.
Sure, sure. I wanted to ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
I think I emailed you, or maybe Facebook emailed you, about my attempt to bring Palestinian products to my food co-op.
I do recall something, and I apologize if I don't remember it right away. I get so much email, but tell us about that.
That's quite all right. I have a question I wanted to ask you, and of course,
preceded
by, you know, a little bit of explanation first, a little bit of background. So I'm trying to bring Palestinian products to my food co-op because I think that if we have Israeli products, then we should have Palestinian products. So,
I think that's phenomenal, by the way. I mean, listen, I have an issue with Israeli products made in the West Bank And I support the boycott of those products. However, I do not support a boycott of Israel as long as we're trying to make peace. And that's a little bit of a problem that the Arab community has with me, because I distinguish that issue. But go ahead. I just wanted to make that clear in case that's where you were heading.
Okay, sure. I hear opinions from all over the map. Now, this is the thing. So I'm trying to bring those products to our co-op. There's a small but very vocal contingent of boycott, divestment, and sanctions in our food co-op. You know, it gets pulled.
Right.
Now, personally, I can't stand the whole movement because I see a lot of hypocrisy, for example.
Right, and I agree with you. But let me ask you a question. When you talk about the small group of this BDS movement, do they want to boycott Israel as a whole or just that aspect of the occupation and products that come from the occupation that make it into Israeli society?
Well,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. Let me give it to you this way. One of their supporters has made it absolutely plain that their Israeli boycott stance extends to Palestinian products that I want to stock because they teach the world, and necessarily due to restrictions, of course, through an Israeli.
And that's wrong. That's wrong for her, that person, to do that.
Well, let me finish. So, you know, they want to extend that boycott to Palestinian products that I want to stock because they reach the world necessarily due to restrictions through an Israeli exporter, or simply because the land where Palestinians grow the food comes from is occupied by Israel. So
Well, again, are we talking about West Bank occupied land, or are we talking about sometimes there are some Palestinians who say that Israel is on occupied land prior to 1967. While I may agree with that technically, I think when you accept the idea of compromise and peace, you accept Israel's right to exist, and you accept those products that are grown in Israel. And that's another topic where maybe, yeah, we'll fight for, you know, civil rights in Israel, make it even better than it is. But that distinction to me is very important, and it's not an easy one to see all the time. Does that make sense?
It makes sense. It doesn't sound like it's a black and white issue to you, or, you know, from the words that I hear, it doesn't sound like it's a black and white issue. But this is the problem that I'm running into. It's like I'm trying to bring economic self-empowerment to at least one or two Palestinian farmers in my own tiny way. And
well, let me make a suggestion. There are, number one, I wouldn't take any.
I'm sorry. You know, I can't support you because, you know, those products are grown under occupation, or they come to us through an Israeli exporter. And I'm like, hey, I don't think those farmers can, you know, eat your politics. So what do you want?
No, I get it. Jesse, first of all, let me say that I think what you're doing is phenomenal. I think it's great that you're doing that. And I wish that, you know, we could have a, you know, this whole conflict resolved, because people like you deserve to get more support. You're actually a good person. And I think what you're trying to do is good. I think, though, it's tough, though. I don't want to buy products that are raised by settlers, you know, they're grown by settlers in the West Bank. It's, to me, while we're talking peace, and there's, even if the peace process isn't moving forward, the fact is we have the mindset of trying to, you know, rejuvenate the peace process. And as long as that's there, we're not in conflict. So we need to work together. But I would tell you that you should not take any products from the West Bank that are from the settlers.
Well,
at least in that co-op. That's my opinion. And I would have a hard time supporting some of the stuff that you're doing if they were there. But I think there are a lot of other products that you could get from the West Bank. And I think products grown in Israel. I absolutely would buy a product that was grown in Israel. And I think that and that's something that Palestinians have to deal with. We have to deal with our own demons and accept the reality. If we're going to accept Israel, then we got to accept it across the board. And I would completely support you.
Though, are grown by Palestinians. That's the thing. The products I'm trying to bring are grown by Palestinian farmers and even in Palestinian cooperative farming endeavors. And I'm still getting the same.
And I don't agree with that. I think you're right. I think I don't understand their objection to that. Is it because they're being distributed by Israelis? It's Palestinian farmers being distributed by Israelis? Is that what they're against? Because they're just against Israel, that group that you're talking about.
When I say Palestinian products, I mean as much Palestinian sweat equity as possible, you know, grown by Palestinian farming cooperatives, even female Palestinian farming cooperatives. Yes, they have to go through Israeli exports. Yes, it's, quote unquote, occupied land. I get it. But
I think that they're wrong then to blacklist those products that are grown by Palestinians in the West Bank. I mean, I know of a lot of products that are manufactured in the West Bank, and I'll buy them. And I know of a lot of Israeli products that are grown in Israel, and I'll buy those too. And I think that those people that try to, you know, they just don't want anything. They don't want Israel. And I get it. And there are a lot of settlers and extremists who don't want Palestine, and I recognize that too. And you're right. Unfortunately, it isn't all black and white. It gets so confused and blurry that, you know, sometimes you have to make a judgment call. What's in the best interest of people? Because that is the bottom line. But that's a tough thing to do.
What would you think would be, like, sometimes the fur flies in our little newspaper, our little cooperative newspaper, in the letters to the editor section? What do you think would be a good response to people who would blacklist those products on those principles alone?
I would tell them that it's wrong, that clearly that if they must support, that if we're going to support peace and compromise, you have to live peace and compromise. You can't just speak the words. I mean, my big problem in the Arab community, and I get this from my side all the time, they're mad at me. They're mad at me because I criticize the boat, assault on Gaza, trying to break the blockade. I think it was a political stunt. They attack me because I don't support a boycott of Israel. I'm against a boycott of Israel, but I do support the limited boycott that targets, you know, the things that are made in the West Bank. I think what you need to do is say in a very balanced way, and I'd have to see it, and I'd even be happy to write something with you, you know, to do it. And I'd love to have you talk about this co-op more and see if we can get more support for you. But like I said, you got to be careful because any product grown by a settler, you know, in and of itself undermines the peace process. You can't support peace and support what they do. It's just not possible. Once there's a peace agreement, and let's say Ariel continues to exist and Gilo continues to exist in a completed peace deal, that means that we've accepted that and there are trade-offs. Then I can deal with it and say, okay, after peace is signed, you know, and we get land in Israel and they get to keep Ariel, I can accept products from the occupied West Bank. But I don't know. That's a tough one. And, Jesse, I give you a lot of credit because it would be so much easier to ignore all this. And I think that you're motivated by the right reasons. That's really so important. And I think sometimes in this whole conflict we miss, you know, these bright moments like you and what you're trying to do. And we get so – everything gets so blurred. And this is great to even talk. It gives me much more respect for you. I was aware of some of the stuff you did, but – just hearing you talk about it sometime, and maybe we should do a show on it sometime. You know, I think it might make an interesting show if you want to talk about it.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your support on this, and I appreciate your show, and I like that you're an equal opportunity offender.
Yeah. No, listen, everybody hates me, from Carol Marine to the Hamas, you know, and to the the Batuni party in Israel. They all dislike me. The settlers, the mainstream media, you know, because nobody, listen, Jesse, you know, it's very hard to say the truth, you know, and stand by principle because you're going to make everybody mad. But I think that if you apply one principle to everything, if I can't condemn the killing of a Palestinian if I don't condemn the killing of an Israeli. If I can't condemn the killing of an Israeli, that means that my condemnation of a killing of a Palestinian is hypocritical. And that, I think, is the underlying principle. So, hey, Jesse, thank you so much. Do you have a website you want to direct people to where they can get more information? They can always go to the Facebook page. But what's your website? Do you have one?
I'm just small fry. I'm just some guy.
Well, listen, I think that's how peace starts. You know, it's like, I wish you the best. And if there's something I can do to help, let me know on Facebook, and we'll stay in touch, all right?
Thanks so much, Ray. Have a great one.
You too. Thanks. That was one of my Facebook friends, you know, who called in and was listening to Radio Ballady. I'm not even sure where Jesse is from. I should have asked him. Wonder if it's on the Facebook page. Let me see if I can find Jesse's name here on Facebook and see where he... So many nice people, even Robin Fine. I love her. She's just a great person. You know, Jesse is in New York, in New York City. And I appreciate what you're doing, Jesse, and I hope we get to promote that more. All right, it's coming down to the end of the show. But we still have some time for another call or two at 248-557-3300. If you want to call in, we'd be happy to take your call and talk about some of these issues. I'm sorry that we weren't able to get Ali Yunus on the line this morning to give us a firsthand report about the stress and trouble in Jordan being caused by the great influx of Syrian refugees, civilians who are fleeing the brutal conflict and the terrorism by the government of Syria against its own people. You know, when a government kills its own people, you have to wonder about all the things that the Syrian government has said about Palestine, about democracy, about freedom. What they've done has been horrible in Syria. And, you know, I mean, I guess because we're not dictators, you know, that's the problem with being good people. Bad people would want to kill everybody. Good people would say, okay, look, just take them out, you know, let them go live in, you know, isolation in some other country, you know, the Assad family, Asma and all her expensive frills and money and spending. Let them leave. Don't hurt them. After all the hurt they brought to people. But then there are war crimes that, you know, Bashar al-Assad probably will face once he's ousted, because he will be ousted. And you know that he will face war crimes for all the killing of civilians. I don't know if all his family will face war crimes, but you do know that Bashar al-Assad eventually will be ousted, and he will end up just like Saddam Hussein. In Saddam Hussein's case, his sons, the two butchers, were murdered and killed before they were brought to justice. Saddam Hussein was hung and executed much more humanely than he hung and executed and murdered so many thousands of Iraqi citizens, including Chaldeans, who, you know, a lot of their anger stems from the way they were treated in Iraq. Anyway, listen, my website, again, is radioballady.com. You can go there. You got links to everything. You got links to my column webpage. My columns are in English and Arabic. You could read them in Arabic. El Mumbar newspaper out in Florida publishes the Arabic version of my syndicated column. You could read it on my website at hanania.com, English and Arabic. And you can check out my new video blogging that I'm doing, kind of looking at the news media, but I'm sure I'll be talking about a lot of other things from the Middle East to the Midwest. So listen, remember, don't forget to join us online and support us, because we do need your support. And I want to thank all of our sponsors, including Ziad Brothers Importing, also Jumana K. Ruz, and Jake's Candy, and Imam Mardini, and the American Muslim Center. Ziad Brothers at Ziad.com, Jumana K. Ruz at JumanaKRuz.com, Imam Mardini at AmericanMuslimCenter.org. I'm Ray Hanania. Have a great week. And don't forget to check out Layla El Husseini's radio show Monday through Thursday at 8 a.m. right here at WNZK AM 690. Thanks, everybody, for calling. Have a great day. We will talk to you next week. Bye-bye, everybody.
WNZ.